You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Billy, how are you feeling about the useless sound montage, the last one of the season? Do you feel like you've been released into the universe, that you have found freedom? Andrew Luck, to honor you last night, made an appearance out of nowhere. How cool was that, Stugatz? People were happy for Andrew Luck. He looked like, you know, he'd become a farmer of some sort, and he'd lost a lot of weight, but he looked really happy, and people seemed to be happy for him. Like, good for you, kid. You got away from all those muscled people beating up on you and had a kid, and you just decided to leave the game behind and have perspective. Good for you.
A little emaciated, yeah, but enjoying my time. Woke up and had a big bowl of kashi. Honey, almond, flax crunch. You know, had a big weekend of antiquing. You know, learned calligraphy, scale model making. You know, it's a beautiful hobby. Learned how to plant vegetables. Big fan of the rutabagas, turnips, and fennel. Yeah. Parsnips and turmerics. Chikorbita.
That's a tough one.
I'm really into chamomile tea. Presently, like reading a lot of books, you know, like The Temporal Void by Peter F. Hamilton. You know, just getting together with my family, making s'mores, you know. Yeah. Reading Call Us What We Carry by Andy Gorman. You know, beautiful book. Highly recommend.
Very mellow now.
Well, I mean, he got away from football.
Took the football out of him.
Yeah, he got away from the rat race. He got away, and things are just moving slower, and he just, you know, he's putting.
You're not the only one that noticed the old ball and chain was like, you know, out of the football into the Tai Chi, you know. Really kind of mellow out and learn how to bake focaccia and pumpernickel.
It was nice to see him, though. We all had the same reaction, right? Like, that's delightful. Way to go, kid. You got out, and you only look a little bit haggard. You got
out.
I
mean, a lot about the ancient peoples of Mexico and pyramids. Where did they come from? Mesopotamia and Montezuma. And, you know, there's a big world out there. I'm ready to explore it. I think I'm going to get a hot air balloon and see what that's like.
What was your reaction last night, Stugatz, when Andrew Luck came on your television screen? It doesn't make any sense, right? They played one game a couple of weeks ago, and Mike was wrong and eternally wrong, and soon he will have to pay for a bet where he loses his hair.
Whoa! Everyone's selling me on Twitter. I'm off the hook now because I was right. You know, they won by multiple scores. They were the better team. Arguably greatest defense in the history of college football. They did it against Bama. I'm off the hook, baby. Yeah, thank you so much, by the way, listening audience, for your support. I couldn't have gotten out of this in good faith without your overwhelming support in my favor. And I think we all know that this is the right solution for this.
Mm-hmm.
It was very clear that the SEC title game didn't matter to Georgia. Alabama had everything to play for, and you know, Georgia was just going through the motions, baby. So I'm glad I get to keep my hair and that the Georgia Bulldogs are national champions and we can put this ugly little bet business behind us.
But seriously, when are you cutting your hair?
As a trim? I do every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks. Like I told you, I've been subscribing to Keeps, and I take collagen now, and I'm really getting the results that that I was looking for. It's a, my hair is fuller, and so is my life now, knowing that I am not going to be a bald man.
Are you, Dan Le Batard, going to make this happen? Because I am telling you, I'm not going to be able to make it happen. It's going to have to come from you. He's not listening to me anymore, so it's going to have to come from you. And I'm telling you, had I lost that bet, my hair would have already been shaved. Like, that day would have already occurred. Why are we prolonging it?
Okay.
Like, I gave him the holiday break because of the holiday pictures. I allowed him to do it, but eventually he's going to get his hair cut.
Dan was going to be bald if Georgia lost last night. Bing, bang, boom, off the hook.
Mike Ryan is in negotiations with the company, and it's, you know, the company's a legitimate company now. It's not backroom dealings. You know, admitting to federal crimes on the microphone.
Whoa!
We bleeped it.
Whoa! Wow.
Yeah, so I did
said that.
I'm just saying it's a different world that we live in at Metal Arc Media. Company is sprouting around all of this, and to that end, incidentally, I need to stop for just a second and tell people this week we are down. We are building new television studios here. And over the last year with the pandemic, it's been very difficult to build a business without missing days, without, like, you know, wrecking this studio. So we've been construction for a year. And right now we are presently in the middle of trying to build this out. And next week you will get video product that will be, I think, a little bit better than what it's been. Yes?
Yeah, you're starting to see some of it on our YouTube page and social. We're still putting out video, but we're not going live. And please allow us some leash here as we beta test and we get better from our mistakes and learn all new equipment and install and get the lighting recalibrated. So we wanted to make sure that during all of this, we were still delivering great content. I mean, it was a national title game. I was right about Georgia all along, and I don't have to shave my head.
Well, we'll get to this in a second because I'm going, you guys are going to bring the anarchy to me, and then eventually, even though we're trying to build.
I've seen overwhelming support in my mentions.
Even though
get out of here.
We are trying to build a company around this nonsense, now Mike is using it as a negotiating ploy. He sat out the post-game show.
All right.
On Sunday, he's dealing with power brokers, right? He's flying to skyboxes here, and he's getting in the game here with these billionaires. There's this local guy. I don't even know what Mike's advising billionaires now.
I know a lot of people. Okay. I would like to thank the Ruiz fam for their generous NIL deal with Gilbert Frierson. That was cool to see, and I'm glad that we're finally being about that action and not just about talking about that action.
Mike has hung up legitimately in negotiations here because Mike didn't know if Metal Arc was going to fly or not. He needed Metal Arc to prove it to him. So Mike was on a one-year deal, and we're in the middle of negotiations. And say we is because we're all in this together. There's a real tension here. Mike has thrown the not having to shave his head as part of this Feinbaum thing into contract negotiations, and the company is bucking on it.
They did buck a little bit, but thankfully, the Georgia Bulldogs proved me right last night, and we can all understand that the spirit of what I said ended up being right. Even Sugats will admit that, right? And Dan, you were so kind to offer up your scalp, and thankfully, we don't have to see it bald because Georgia won. And you know what? Because I'm a nice guy, Sugats, you don't have to worry about shaving your head. You're good. You're nice. Good in my book.
When did the double or nothing terms get accepted?
Exactly.
Was there a confirmed, agreed-upon bet signed in blood?
You've done the impossible. Whittingham has been shaking his head, nodding his head in disgust while you've been doing this
entire time.
Sure we agreed to it.
I have never seen Whittingham is your right-hand man. He is a good soldier. Rarely have I seen him this disgusted with you.
As you mentioned, renegotiating, so choose your words wisely right now if you want to continue being right-hand. Because you're going to shift over to left real quick.
Well, one of the things that I learned over the course of the last year is when bets are owed, bets get paid.
Mm-hmm. Do they? Do they?
Yes, they do.
Do they?
Well,
because
it was that time.
do they?
I still owe Matt.
But I would have if I were wrong about Georgia, but I was very clearly right. And
right. You were right at the wrong time, though, is the problem.
I think close to 90% of our audience agrees and stands with Mike that he should not have to shave his head because he was dead on about this being Georgia's year. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
Another thing I learned, let the audience decide. Why don't we put this to a poll? Is Mike's bet
put
now
what
off?
To a poll? He made a bet with me at the SEC championship game. Why are we polling? No,
but I also understand Mike's argument. Mike's argument, which is that he said Georgia was better than Alabama, than the national champions. They completely shut down Alabama. They won by multiple scores.
How do you think that poll goes?
Yeah. Well, let's see if the audience thinks.
So if Mike gets 90 or more percent, he's out of it. And what if it's less than 90, Mike?
I agreed to your terms. The only thing is we are in the state of Florida, and I'm going to need a wet signature. So please go to FloridaEducationChampions.com. Fill out your request for a petition. Send that in the very bottom. Write in, Mike should shave his head or Mike should... you know, keep his hair, and we'll tally the votes. And if legalized sports betting,
that is not cool. That is not cool.
Wider in
what
scope
you're doing
a free
there.
Marketplace all for right. all. Look, then we will make sure to get this head shaved or not okay. come Super Bowl week. That is our new deadline.
Okay, that is the new deadline.
Why?
Because all right, well,
I got to count the ballots.
Stugant, this is where we are. You allowed him after the holidays, which really can be eternal, right? Anytime after
a holiday on Monday,
the oral bet was kind of open ended because once we
it's
allowed
always after a holiday,
once we say once
there's always another holiday, okay, Dana.
I learned from the best.
Yeah. The lawyers went through the paperwork and they're like, "Yeah, Mike's clean here. It's not a verbal commitment."
All right.
So many holidays: Arbor Day, Flag Day.
Anyway, Billy, I was trying to ask you about Useless Sound because you must feel liberated.
Day, although I'm conflicted.
You must feel liberated from the shackles of the dungeon. You have now 6 months of reprieve here. Where are we with this latest Useless Sound? Are you proud of it?
You know, playing a little fast and loose with the rules this week. See what happens, Dano.
There is no template for a Week 18 Useless Sound montage. This is the first one ever. So,
first of its kind, Billy. Are you? But you're not willing to give me that you're proud of it, okay? He consistently undersells. Any stars?
I'm glad it's done.
And were you happy to hear? Was Andrew Luck? Did Andrew Luck? Well, let's see. Let's find out together because this used to be named the Andrew Luck Memorial Useless Sound Montage. I can't believe Stugatz. Are you not a little bit surprised? Because the Andrew Luck story is a fascinating one. He arrives at, the mountaintop. Maybe he doesn't win the championship, but he's a star at that position and could have played for 10 years and been one of the top guys. Like, we could all see it.
Far too kind, Dan. Been a fan of your writing.
But we know he was going to be good to great, correct? Like, he was going to also figure out.
I was all right.
How to figure out how to.
Coach Reich has got it really moving down there. So
he was going to figure out how not to throw the interceptions, right? He was going to evolve, and for 10 years or 15 years, and he said, nah, never mind. I'm going to wander away. And he looked radiant. And he looked so happy.
It's exactly how I imagined it, him just wandering aimlessly away.
And lost weight, looked so much healthier away from football. Please tell me, let's learn together. Is there going to be any Andrew Luck in here?
The Steelers Ravens right there, man. I just can't say enough about the men in that locker room, man. Their collective will, dire circumstances, and so forth.
I think it shows something about this team, though, that you can continue to fight and never give up.
What are things that we did well? What are things we can build on? What are things we have to improve on?
Oh, that's a great question.
And that's what it takes to win games in the playoffs. There's no question. You gotta play good football, but you gotta be resilient too.
I'd never been rooting for a Time Warner in my life.
I don't live like that. I was focused on winning the game.
We're not quite there yet, but we're close. And I think the foundation is there for this franchise to close the gap and become more of a factor in this division.
I'm appreciative of our quarterback, QB1.
He's been smiling in the face of adversity for 18 years.
I'm just glad that we get to go into the tournament and be a part of it, because regardless of what happened today, I was going to be very proud of those guys. And you know, our goal every year is to get in the tournament.
This team's good enough to not only be in the tournament, but to win it. I know who's in the tournament, and I felt like we have a good enough team to be in it.
Their efforts, their talents, their will, their competitive spirit.
Would you have punted if you hadn't got that big run?
I don't know. Didn't happen.
Left a bad taste in my mouth and a lot of guys' mouth.
Man, we got a lot of warts. But we're here.
We were in control, being in control of our destiny last 2 weeks, and we just couldn't get it done.
Whenever we come in here, we better win the turnover battle. We're not getting out of the stadium unless we do.
Certainly limit turnovers.
A lot of competition in stadium, distractions potentially on the outside of the stadium.
I owe it to them, I owe it to the organization, not to get distracted by outside noise, because that's the reality of what it is. You're in the National Football League.
Leave early a hero, stay late and become a villain. And if I have to someday become that villain, then I plan on staying until everyone says, you know, we're burning your wagon out of town. And so I'm comfortable with that.
It was a fun one to win, especially to do it at home. It's special. And it's nice because my house is close and I can get some sleep tonight.
Enjoy the moment.
I file everything, okay? I file everything in terms of what I learn. Everything's an experience. Everything's a lesson. The important thing with whatever happens, any lesson you learn, is that you move forward with it, make the right decisions going forward with the information that you've gathered and learned.
He's the same when everybody else gets funny. You know what I mean? Everybody else gets a little tight. He's the same guy.
Like, there's a list of things that are just tattooed. You know, you touch that hot plate, you learn it's hot, right? You ain't gonna touch that thing again.
Full-time daddy duty. It's the, and it's been a complete joy.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, Tilly, what a glorious finish to get to the end of that season on your hands and knees, crawling like Carson Wentz entire Sunday. Mike, I thought of this on the way home. It's as if, you know, in the movies where a bad guy is running away and gets shot in the hamstrings, how they fall to their knees while running. That is how Carson Wentz spent this entire season. You have done this all season. You've come out on the other end. Is this your retirement? Did it just end with Andrew Luck's return? Because, Billy, this is taking up too much of your time every week. Do we need to retire? Is that the last historic useless sound montage brought to you by Andrew Luck because Andrew Luck retired the category?
I hadn't thought about that. It could end with Andrew Luck's voice if that is indeed the last one.
Put it on the poll.
Is this forced retirement like Joe Judge, or what are we doing?
At Levitard Show, put it on the poll, please. Andrew Luck, Stugatz, because it has been amazing to see that he hasn't done any interviews. Like, he's just disappeared, right? He was at the center of what everyone who worships this sport on Sundays wants to be at the center of.
Yeah, full-time dad duty. I mean,
and he stole the show. Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Did Andrew Luck steal the show? Because Tomlin carried you too there, Billy. And I'm so glad that he doesn't have another sub-500 season, Stugatz, or any sub-500 seasons, even this season when they weren't good enough to be the record. That team, I don't think any of us are looking at the Steelers and saying that team should be in the playoffs, but they somehow got there anyway.
He's a great coach. He's always trying to get out of a stadium. You know, he gets out of the stadium whether they win or lose. I hope he knows that, but he takes this very, very seriously. I would like him to be my head coach. I would literally run through a wall for Mike Tomlin if he told me to.
That's not true.
I think I would.
You would not literally
run. There's not many, but I think for Mike Tomlin, I would actually do it.
Regardless, Mike Tomlin is useless sound guy. He carried you to the finish line, Billy, on this season. So it might be the last one. We don't know, but thank you. Excellent work, as always.
Tight.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
I do love some sound here. That is how Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get in difficult moments.
Tight.
Did you know that Tomlin had another note?
Tight.
But that would be the only other note he'd have, right?
Tight.
Sarcasm that he can go to, and right? Like that's that is Mike Tomlin telling you some guys in pressure situations, they're sphincter.
Tight.
Did you know that? Put that on the poll as well, Guillermo. Did you know that Mike Tomlin had another octave? We've got some other sound to get to here, Stu, guys. Here's Greg Cody. This was funny last night. Greg Cody, such a weird thing, Stu, guys. He's been a columnist for a long time, and he writes a column that has to be the biggest column he's written in this town since he tried to trade Dan Marino when Scott Mitchell
or since you got engaged.
Right.
Okay, as a column, though, he gets a lot of clicks because he set fire to the Dolphin organization yesterday in a rabid column. Rabid. Just truly pissed off because he felt that Brian Flores had been wronged. He's taking a victory lap all of last night, drinking red wine on his 41st anniversary. He's interrupting it because Tony Kornheiser mentioned this column, the column that he fled here yesterday to go write. Mentioned this column on Pardon the Interruption.
It's all that matters, Dan.
He took a victory lap. He was so goddamn happy on his 41st anniversary. And this expert dinosaur of a columnist, who knows very little about sports these days, let's be honest. I mean, he's just grinding out the end, and he doesn't know much of anything that he's watching. But he comes in here, goddamn, and he's incompetent every sort of other week, coughing and not doing his back in my days. This was our only analysis as a show yesterday of the national championship being played on college football's biggest stage between Nick Saban, who has made this game 6 times in 8 years, and a Georgia you're never to trust. Georgia has not been this good in our lifetimes. This is the best Georgia team I have ever seen. Georgia historically expects to lose that game last night because Georgia's going to Georgia. How could you not know that Georgia was not a 6.5-point favorite the way that Vegas made them against Alabama the first time they played? And then Alabama smokes them, and we look back, and Stugatz looks right for a moment. For a moment in time, Stugatz looks right. Oh, it is the only standard. Do it to Bama.
Mm-hmm.
But Georgia was objectively better than Alabama this year across the board. They didn't come close to losing. They lost the one time to Alabama because a lot of teams would. If I played 10 games against Alabama, and you'd take it right now as a championship, wouldn't you? Just Alabama, get me to the end of the season. I'm going to play Alabama. People will watch because they're a dynasty and people want to see Nick Saban lose. And I don't know how Nick Saban doesn't get bored. Honestly, bored at this point in his life because he's built the machine that doesn't really have a precedent, like a corporation in this dumb swamp of college football where you got a lot Les Miles and Ed Orgeron fighting over the smart at the top of the food chain. Nick Saban comes in and runs a machine through Alabama and makes it what it was, Bear Bryant, just the terrain of the South, just a factory immaculate at this. They have a game, their Heisman Trophy winner going away. And I do wonder about this. If I flip these games, does he still win the Heisman Trophy that way? Because he wasn't bad last night, but Georgia did to him.
Well, if you flip the games, Bama's not playing last night.
They but what I'm saying is if I flip the games, then I've got an Alabama team that almost lost to Georgia, should have lost to, almost lost to Florida, terrible Florida team, should have lost to Auburn.
Yes.
A bounce kept them from, that's the dynasty. That's at the top of the thing, and now here comes the money for that thing. It's shaking at the top, right? Because in any one year, oh, wait, LSU can get good enough to knock them off. Oh, Georgia just got good enough. Somebody got money over there. Somebody got some players over there. And in a quick four-year window, I can take out Saban. It's, we're all playing for the second spot next to Saban. Now we're going to hire Brian Kelly over here. We're going to hire Lincoln Riley over there on the other side of the country.
And they left good situations. I mean, they left Oklahoma and Notre Dame to go to USC and LSU. So, yeah, I mean, everyone can see it. Why wouldn't they be able to see it? I think the point you just made is a great one, that a team can get good faster than they ever have before just because of the money. This was a slow climb for Georgia. This didn't happen quickly. It was a slow build for them. But a team like USC can get really good and really relevant with the hiring of Lincoln Riley and some money behind him, and they can do it very, very quickly.
All of this is yammering to tease to the only analysis we had of this yesterday before the game was played, because we don't like to do previews around here. Our show, big podcast, had the expertise of Greg Cody on what would happen in the game between Alabama and Georgia and why the hell Georgia would be favored against Alabama by 2.5.
Never in the history of sports has a favorite seemed more like an underdog. I'm shocked. I'm going to put a saddle on those 2.5 points. Getting Nick Saban getting 2.5 points, put a saddle on it, giddy up all the way to the bank.
That's bad. He should shave his head.
He
really should.
He still has to go to the bank.
Shave his head after he goes to the bank, pull into the barber shop. That's bad.
People are going to be really mad at you. They're going to be really mad at
for
you.
For being right about Georgia? How dare they?
For backtracking on a bet. But I did.
I essentially was right. My point was right. And I foolishly made a little pretend wager on an exhibition game, essentially, for the University of Georgia. And thankfully, when the stakes actually mattered, Georgia proved that they are indeed a lot better than Alabama, because they did it against Bama in the biggest spotlight. And again, I can't thank the audience and you guys enough.
All right, please stop doing that, because we're not done with the, we're not done with
understanding
these.
The spirit of the deal. Look at my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of our deal.
Look at your eyes.
No.
The spirit of what I was saying all season long.
Yes, you were right. And
I couldn't have been more right outside of maybe one game.
This is amazing, because this is the worst.
I'm a college football expert. What can I say?
This is the worst punishment that a victor will ever have, because
he chose it.
No, but I do believe that you are right, and your reward
oh,
is
get out of here.
I mean, show me the proof that I'm not, outside of N'Kobe Dean wearing the wrong hat.
He's right about what? He made a bet on a specific game. It was one game.
Year,
what is he right about?
Hold on.
Because
all
it supports
year,
what you thought all
you
along.
You were running your mouth all year about how Georgia wasn't good. And when they go up against Alabama, Alabama will smoke them, because Alabama is the gold standard. And I told you Georgia was better than Alabama. And look at me.
Yeah.
Right again.
A broader point has nothing to do with a bet.
Yes.
A bet was
made. Also right, except for one instance.
Well, look at my eyes. Spirit of the deal.
He keeps saying that, spirit of the deal, and look into his eyes. And
are we not gentlemen anymore?
No, we're not
are
gentlemen.
We not? Well, no. Are we a lawless society?
This is.
Are we cretins? Look at me. Are you a cretin?
During freedom, though, there was a big emphasis on the audience needing a payoff.
Yes. Well,
and I remember you being a big part
of
that.
But this is what I would say.
Well,
thank
I'm respecting
you.
The audience's wishes.
Chris, thank you for bringing
it. Needed to be said.
Thank you for bringing
this. This is the payoff the audience wants you're maintaining?
Yes. You're welcome for all that incredible football analysis over the year. And hopefully you rode with your boy and rode that saddle all the way to the bank, as one future Baldy said.
Paying the vig on 1-1 with Georgia.
Can we get this sound, please? I want to get this sound again.
Standard protocol to double up the unit.
Let's get just Greg Cody again telling you, because this is what it's become, Chris. Your father at the very end, just, hey, give me a shout out on Kornheiser. I'll write it to Clicks over here as the world's oldest crappy sounding bookmaker. Because this is not a journalist. This is the analysis that he had before the championship of America's second biggest sport.
Never in the history of sports has a favorite seemed more like an underdog. I'm shocked. I'm going to put a saddle on those 2.5 points. Getting Nick Saban getting 2.5 points, put a saddle on it, giddy up all the way to the bank.
He's right. I mean,
no, what do you mean he's right?
I mean, it was wrong technically, but he was right at the time. That's what everyone was thinking.
This is what Mike Ryan is telling you by spirit of the deal. When I say Ryan is right, he was right all year about that Georgia team. And in one game,
right,
he lost the big game. And right, so never has a winner suffered this kind of consequence, because I do believe Mike will honor, not the commitment, or not the, he is not honoring to be honorable. I believe what Chris is saying is true, that Mike Ryan will end up honoring this because content is God around here, and he knows that that the payoff, we cannot have you negotiating unless you leave the company. I thought you were legitimately leaving the company weekend.
Now,
when you didn't.
Now I have to revisit my term sheet, very clearly, because I see what you're doing, Dan. You're trying to apply my own morals and shine a light on my own hypocrisies. How dare you? I was right. And I'm fulfilling the audience's wishes by keeping these luscious locks that have been totally revitalized thanks to our good friends and sponsors and partners over at Keeps. I can't thank you enough. Man, that foam, volume. Volume. Look at this.
You see this?
Yeah. Finally got that mullet going.
Wow.
I noticed this. I noticed this over the holidays. Well, I was like, what was he going for with his hair? What is happening with his hair? Because Mike Ryan.
I'm back, baby. My hair is back. And I am not letting it go because I was right. Oh, so right about N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis and the greatest college football defense I've ever seen outside of one teeny tiny
Billy
game.
Do you have any thoughts for me here? Like, what can I do? Because
it seems like today we took a day off from the commitment to good content.
Exactly right. I mean, Billy's never been convinced that Mike was going to cut his hair, to be honest.
He's not going to cut his hair. Yeah, no, he's not. So let's just let it die and move on. It's not going to happen.
Thank you for your support.
But what is
you heard the man.
What is this haircut that you are presently doing? Because
it's a little mullet.
I've got to be honest, okay? Because you have, I don't know what's going to happen here. I legitimately think it would be kind of amazing if Mike left the company in disgrace as one last performance out the door. I will not honor this bet that the audience expects me to honor, because I'm going to throw a blanket of lies at you about what my echo chamber response has been in my mentions, because people are supporting my cause. They've got a petition. He's got a
few. You're alleging that I'm lying about the overwhelming support I've had from the Levitard audience, including Reddit? No. My mentions are very positive and uplifting.
I never understood why you went so quickly, okay? Please help me. Because they played the national championship last night. And it was interesting. It went late. Everybody was tired but a great fourth quarter. Football always wins.
Can't do Chargers, Raiders, and then the national championship back to back.
It was hard.
It's hard to follow. Yeah.
It was a struggle last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long.
Especially when it's 9-6 at halftime.
That one hurts too, right?
I love that first half.
It proved what you say. It proved that's the game you expected the first time.
That was physical football.
I fell asleep.
Violent to watch what was happening.
It's unbelievable. Like, to me, the thing that's most impressive about what Georgia did is, yeah, teams have beaten Alabama, but I don't think a team has physically manhandled Alabama like Georgia did at times, particularly up front, where you see guys in open field and there's just swarms of players running at guys in the open field.
But Alabama was dishing it right back out, too. Yeah. That offensive line for Georgia was getting dominated.
Yeah.
Man, Will Anderson is so freaking good. I know that they're talking about so-and-so from Michigan and so-and-so from Oregon being the number one pick.
Davis, too. Jesus.
Jordan Davis had a lot of bad tape in that SEC title game. I love N'Kobe Dean. Yeah. I think N'Kobe Dean is a spectacular football player. And he's probably going to go in the teens in the NFL draft. I think that dude is special. Like, he looks like potentially a Hall of Fame
pro. But Stugatz, what is frustrating about, after a season of analysis from you of do it against Alabama, that was right. your standard is no one's any good. That you're Like, we misidentified Florida. Florida fired its coach. You wanted to make them number two because they came within two of beating Alabama.
They're number three. I mean, Texas A&M is number two because they also beat Alabama. In fact, I'm thinking about making them number one because they beat Alabama first.
All right, but I mean, all season, as we argued about this dumb made-for-television spectacle that is just a cash grab of randomness, and Nick Saban has jerry-rigged the system, so he's getting in every four. The odds are in his favor from a lot of different angles because he's built a monster there. Mike Ryan's analysis of this team, that we were watching something that was special, that you were watching much like LSU was to offense with Orgeron, like, oh, wait, Georgia, from the very beginning, Georgia, I told you this story, Mike, one time, when I'm in a freshman at the height of this sport, University of Miami is not losing a game the entire time I'm there. I walk into the locker room as a freshman, and Jerome Brown is there. And I'm a freshman, and he's a senior. I'm like, this Jerome Brown is 300 pounds, would go on to dominate in the NFL. It's rare that you're watching a college football game, and you're like, oh, my God, those are men over there. Those are closer to professional over there. And they're going to go ragdoll this factory that Saban's built. But that's what Mike was seeing all year, because they go and do it to Arkansas. Arkansas is huge and physical, and it's like, nah. I saw this weekend, Stugatz, it was the Detroit Packers game. I felt so bad for the Detroit Lions center because a Packer comes in. He's got five sacks this season. It's hard to get back there fast. He just grabbed him by the throat and ran him into the quarterback with his right hand. Like, just, it wasn't hands to the face, because he just grabbed him by the throat and took him straight back and then sacked the quarterback. Georgia's defense was that all season. Like, grab you by the throat and throw offensive linemen at your quarterback. And last night, the Heisman Trophy winner threw for 350 yards. But what I can't believe, the stunner to me, is that what he did to win the Heisman Trophy before. Because I thought what I was seeing from Georgia is what I was going to see in that game last night, which is like, no, man, these are men. These dudes on defense here are playing against some guys that aren't quite physically built for the next level yet. Size, speed, all of it. Like, I'm watching Georgia against Missouri, and I'm saying, I can't believe Missouri got three first downs, because what I'm seeing is just an apocalypse up front of seven dudes who are just stronger than the guys opposite them, even at Alabama.
But Georgia, I mean, Dan, they're the same team, right? Like, Georgia did it. Listen, I asked them to do it against Alabama. They did it. I'll tell them to do it again, because that's what Nick Saban would do. But they're basically this year the same team. They play two games. They're 1-1. The score is 59-57 if you tally up the scores. 59-57 Alabama, by the way, if you tally up the scores from the two games. They play 10 games. It's going to come down to a couple of plays. And last night came down to a couple of plays in the fourth quarter.
I don't think they're the same team, because the discrepancy.
You think Georgia is that much better?
They
lost 41-24 a month ago to
them. If you're using the word team,
they didn't have their best wide receiver.
I think Alabama.
That matters.
Alabama, yes, missing their top two receivers. They lost one of them in the game. That really hurt them. But I think the discrepancy is such between the quarterbacks. You know, Stetson Bennett versus, like, Stetson Bennett basically threw a bunch of passes within the first 5 yards of the line of scrimmage and two arm punts that worked out for him. That was basically the game. Whereas Bryce Young had spent the entire 120 minutes of these two teams played problem solving. I thought even last night was really good in the game in terms of dealing with the waves of pressure. There's such a discrepancy at quarterback that the rest of the guys on those rosters, I think Georgia's a better team.
I think you're being way too harsh on Stetson Bennett. Ooh, it's an incredible story, because he's a walk-on. JT Daniels is like this prize recruit. He beat him out, kept him at bay the entire season, goes toe-to-toe with a Heisman Trophy winner. And while Bryce Young, I agree with you, was better in that game flipped when they started trusting Stetson Bennett to throw downfield. And he made shit happen.
Stugatz, I can't believe that as we've been watching college football over, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 years, when Alabama's become the monster that makes the SEC, the moneymaker that it is, and now all of college football is about to change. We saw that Nick Saban's greatest jobs may have been winning all those championships without a quarterback, being right. So good at his job that he didn't need a professional-type quarterback that was better than everyone else, didn't need a Tua. Maybe at the end, one throw at the end, but didn't really need these guys. Could win without him. That's how much better he was. And this is how people catch up. LSU sells its soul, gets up there for a minute, gets athletes all over the place. Now the money's pouring into the sport, and people are realizing, let's go get Alabama. And in our lifetime last, I don't know, 6 years, Alabama's gone very quickly from all of us. Yep, that's the best I've seen, best I've seen. You got cutthroat ecosystem trying to get to the dollars. Everybody wants to get to where Alabama is to, oh, Alabama's got the best quarterback. And, oh, good God, Georgia is making him look like he's going to have to work out there because now his two receivers are gone. And, oh, because no one's going to argue, Stugatz, that Georgia, you can argue on behalf of Georgia's quarterback. You can't argue that there's not, the biggest disparity on that field is the difference in talent between Alabama's quarterback and Georgia's quarterback. It's the biggest gulf there is at any position of any of the 22 on the field.
Dan, I would argue if Kirby Smart can get himself a better quarterback in the offseason in the transfer portal, he will do it even after Stetson Bennett won him a national championship.
But that's how fast the whole thing is changing is what I'm telling you. Like, that's like, oh, shit, okay, Saban, up there at the top of cutthroat where the money is, this is everyone coming for you now. They're, and oh, of course you're going to be out there with like, we need to be careful about this these likeness deals, because now everyone's realized I can go from Nick Saban so much better he doesn't need a quarterback to Nick Saban's got the best quarterback, but I'm going to swamp him with seven athletes up front. And now what you're going to do, man, oh, man, the survival of
but
the
fittest.
But
that's a special defense, though, right? Like, we're talking about an all-time special defense.
I think that was
Mike's original point.
But LSU was a special offense.
But you're not going to see that, Dan. Those defenses, even with, you know, all the new rules in college football, we're seeing all the money, it's hard to create a defense that's that good.
Look at what Texas A&M did this offseason in recruiting. They beat Alabama this year.
But, Mike, you're talking about an all-time defense. Like, this is you telling me, Stugatz, Georgia, all-time great defense. Those are hard to build.
But this is the difference between Saban and everybody else, is sustaining. It's every year Alabama comes back with a fresh new crop of players. LSU got everything right over a four-year period. Assistant coaching hires, recruiting battles. They got everything right, and they couldn't sustain it. And that's why Ed Orgeron was on Fox's second screen experience last night and not coaching LSU. And it's on Kirby Smart now to sustain. I think he's got everything in his locker recruiting-wise in order to get that done, but it's not easy.
How is it, and I think we blew it last night, because I people are clamoring. You mentioned the Orgeron thing, and Chris was like, damn it, I missed the coaching cast. They're still doing these second screen experiences because it's such a made-for-television event. It's a contrivance, really. It's just television working with institutions to protect all of the money and give you programming, right? We'll have Samson and Skipper. You'll hear from both of them on the business side of this. But Skipper came to power at ESPN because he knew how to sell college basketball and college football as a minor league contrivance that would be accepted as professional sports if he was the only one buying up the properties. And so ESPN became the monster that it was because it had all of those games. So last night is the biggest of the contrivances at the height of minor league football that Saban runs, right? And the ground shifted a little last night. The business of it shifted because somebody took Alabama's thing. And it's just, the point is that there will be more teams that can get there one time, that Urban Meyer as a mercenary might be able to do it one year or one run with his third string quarterback. Like, but they're coming from all over is the point. Whoever wants to actually spend money on this now that the money's out in the open,
right,
to recoup investments, or if you're just a booster who really wants, a billionaire who really wants a toy because you want to fight Phil Knight now.
But you think it's going to happen that quickly? Because it was hard to find four good playoff teams this year.
Stugatz,
I mean, the semifinal games were dreadful.
I don't know it's going to happen that quickly. All I'm saying is a team streaking across the sky can happen to Alabama every year. Everyone's still fighting for second place, but now with the pandemic, there are going to be more of them who want to get. Lincoln Riley wants in that game now from out west. Give me one time against Alabama, see if I can get them within the next 4 years.
We still haven't seen the fruits from the NIL tree. I guarantee you, you're going to get more good teams in the college football playoff. Just look at what's happening with recruiting. NIL is absolutely leveling the playing field. Now, it might be rich get richer. Alabama's certainly in this mix, too. Alabama's not going to go away, but I do think their dominance, their absolute dominance, and always getting to the final and being within a hair's breadth of that trophy, that probably shifts a little bit and more teams get into the equation.
The part of the business that's fascinating to me is you see a competitive rush for both dollars and in athleticism on the field. What are you willing to compromise if you want to go after this thing? Because it might have to look sometimes like LSU. The compromise, that's stark. We're going to sell our soul. We're going to win the championship. And then Orgeron's going to take a golden parachute out of here and be on a second screen experience.
It's going to look like Jimbo Fisher joking with Paul Feinbaum about
Yeah, we used to do that before, but now it's legal.
but not me.
I feel like we blew it, though, by not doing a second. People were clamoring for it last night, a second screen experience on this.
ESPN2, though. Texas A&M coaches just saying football terms, talking over each other all night.
Ugh. It's pretty good.
It was really bad. It's like they were trying to do a thing. Like, I get the thought of it, but it was just literally just throwing up football terms. Just after a play, backside there. You see that, coach? Coach, you see the up, yep, end around. See it? Just football terms and nothing.
Stugatz is saying that was pretty good.
I'm okay with it.
You didn't tune in, and it didn't sound like people. I still don't understand why they don't understand, or why people just don't understand if it's going to be a second screen experience. It's allowed to be entertaining and have the football in it. Like, you don't have to choose between.
Some people want the terms, the X's and O's. Some people want that.
No, it's too much. They need, like, this is kind of like a Manning cast problem. You need some of the artifice of television. If you just put a bunch of coaches in an auditorium and have them speak over each other, it's not television. It's just people speaking over each other. Like, you need a Tom Luganville in there to direct traffic and be like, hey, coach, it's third down. Can you tell us what's going on here? Like very simple hosting, broadcasting techniques.
I watched the Fox second screen experience hosted by Joel Klatt. And that Thibodeau kid from Oregon's got some charisma. He was basically the co-host of it the entire time. They brought on Cristobal. I think it peaked at like 500 viewers. But I enjoyed it.
We got to start stomping over to some of these spaces, because with a television outfit behind us, this is part of what we're growing here. And
you should start a media company.
Well, it's presently feuding with you goddamn bet that
we had a good discourse.
You need to honor enough. You need to honor the bet. Like, no one's going to take your side. I don't know why,
Mike. You'd be all over me by now.
I don't know why you would take such an unpopular position.
We are legion right now. I'm representing the audience.
No one's going to side with you. No one's going to side with you.
I have seen petitions and over 1,000 signatures. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. You end up being right in the analysis.
Thank you.
But you've lost this bet, and I can't have you leaving the company. We need you, because we're building a network to occupy some of these spaces. And I want to play for you some sound here from a couple of clips we have from other podcasts on this network, as you will hear. I promised you for a year now. It was a tough year. You know some of the details on how tough a year it was trying to build a business during a pandemic. But this should be a good year if things can return to some kind of normal. We're headed to the Super Bowl. We're going to do it big. There was going to be a houseboat. The whole thing collapsed. Everything collapsed. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get out there. We are trying to build this thing right now. We've got a couple of podcasts as a part of the network. One of them is Mike Schur and Joe Posnanski. They are both great authors. I respect both of them as the top of my profession, Stugatz, because Posnanski is one of the great sports writers ever, and Mike Schur made his way into Hollywood as a comedy writer because he knew how to criticize sports writers back when Main Street columnists were gasbagging, and he was doing FireJoeMorgan.com. And they have a podcast together. They have good chemistry together. They like each other. They dork out on baseball, but they also talk about America in ways that are interesting. Posnanski's best-selling book is a tribute to not just baseball, which he loves, but just to storytelling and some of the cool things in sociology that sports bring out. It's why it's a best-selling book. And Mike Schur has a book right now, and it's great because I've read it, where he's trying to make philosophy easy for people, funny, fun. How the conundrum, the moral conundrum for any problem, he's got the answer to through the wisdom of all of life's philosophers. And together they do the podcast. This is something from that podcast.
We're now, as ever, most people know, we're a part of the Meadowlark Media Empire. And a while ago, Manfred was a guest on the Lebatard show with Stugatz. Yes. I'm not sure if you ever actually listened to that interview. It is an amazing interview, because the Lebatard crew, being from Miami, was upset, righteously upset, about the Florida Marlins.
Yes.
And a number of issues related to the Florida Marlins and the sale of the Marlins and the way that the Marlins team has been treated and has operated in the city of Miami. And they were really hard on Manfred, and Manfred did not do a very good job of answering their questions. And if that crew, if Lebatard and Stugatz and Chris Cody and Billy Gill and Mike Ryan, if they worked for MLB Network, I mean, they would have been fired before the interview was over, apparently. Like, and the idea that you, like, if if you are the commissioner of a sport, the idea that you never have to face any kind of scrutiny or tough questioning or anything, when did we get to this point?
They do Sirius, and every once in a while, Nick Offerman or one of the people from the Parks and Rec world makes an appearance. And also, Roy came in here today. He wasn't willing to agree that he was excited. He says, I'm never excited. I will not be excited. I refuse to be excited. So he was proudly not excited, but he did say he was proud, proud of a project that he is about to birth. During the pandemic, there have been a lot of things that have been very hard, and he did say he was proud of something. And if you want to support that as part of the Le Batard and Friends Network, you could do so this week. Roy, tell people what you've been, really, you've been working on birthing a baby here for about 8 months.
Yeah, we got a new podcast that is debuting on Thursday called Montgomery & Company, which is hosted by Renee Montgomery, wow, co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, and her family. Her wife, she's the business partner, her mom, advisor, and her sister, the COO of her company. And this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk to people in business. We're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about pop culture. And I have a preview from Thursday's episode where they went to New York and they got swindled trying to buy perfume.
We get to the hotel, we all looking at our stuff, and then Nishay goes, Donna and Rabana. I was like, Donna and Rabana, Calvin Klein. It was terrible. Not Dolce & Gabbana, Donna and Rabana.
It didn't say Gucci. It wasn't Gucci. It was Getchy.
It said Getchy.
It was like
Calvin Klein.
It probably should have said Gotcha.
Yeah. Because y'all got.
Love it. Love that, man. What do you think she means by that?
Montgomery & Company is something that we would like for you to support because Roy is proud of it, and it's been fascinating to watch what Renee Montgomery's life has become over the last 2 years. It has sped up. Every time I talk to her, she's at Shaq Celebrity Softball Games. She made some decisions about what she was going to do with her life.
How often does she play in this game? Every time.
It's like a weekly game.
Every time it's some form of that. Why is there always one of Shaq's? I think Shaq is running a sports
league.
They
playing too?
That the streaming services are going to fight over.
I think night doubleheaders?
He might be doing weekly games, celebrity games every week. Regardless, please support the parts of the Le Batard and Friends Network that make you believe in the spirit of the show and the spirit of a deal, Mike. You're saying the spirit of the rule is what? Mike Ryan is still out here saying he's not going to honor that bet, and I can't believe it. I refuse to believe you'd leave the company over this. I won't believe it. Well, I can't believe it.
Look, it's not. Don't think of it so much as me leaving. Think of it as me taking a much better offer to go somewhere else with hair.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.